different churches.
Some of them look kind of pretty, amen? The buildings. Different religions, different churches. Well, first thing, let me start off by saying that there are a lot of churches. And they all claim to be churches. There are Baptist churches. There are Roman Catholic churches. There are Presbyterian churches. Methodist churches. There's the Church of England. And the Church of Ireland. There's the Pentecostal churches. And then there are non-denominational churches. They're kind of, they don't want any name. Some of them are called Bible churches. And then there are others that are cults, like the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. How many of you ever heard of a Seventh-day Adventist? Right, some of you have. Those are people who believe you have to keep the Sabbath. Then there is something called the Church of Christ, and they believe that you have to be baptized to be born again. If you can't get baptized, you can't get to heaven. Beyond that, there are loads of different religions. Main ones are like Buddhism. They believe in an eightfold path. Their goal is nothingness. They just want to disappear one day. You have Islam in the Middle East. They believe that Allah and His prophet are the only way. Hinduism in India. They believe in about 2.5 million gods and counting. They keep making new ones. Shintoism. Our brother Mac from... I don't remember his surname. Sorry there. Let me make sure it is Musk. Brother Frank M. Judy Musk, he's in Japan. Shintoism, they believe in their ancestors. And he was telling me, he says, there are thieves have gods, and they pray to their god that they can break into your house. So you pray to your god to keep them from breaking into your house. That's how they live. Judaism, Israel, they believe in the God of the Bible, but they don't believe in the Messiah. There are other religions that maybe you're not aware of. One's called evolutionism. They believe in almighty dirt. And then there is the one upcoming religion. It's called atheism. They believe in almighty self. So all they believe in is just themselves. There are lots of cults and churches and religions. And all that translates into a lot of different churches and a lot of different ways to, quote, worship God. I want to answer three questions, or try to answer three questions tonight. One is, God a God of choices? Has He created all these different churches kind of like dinner? What are we going to have tonight? Where shall we eat tonight? Are we going to eat at McDonald's or Burgerland? Are we going to really break out the silverware and go to Burger King? I mean, is God a God of all of these different choices? Can you just pick and choose a church, the one that you like the best? I want to answer, does it really matter the kind of church you attend? As long as you're in church, isn't that a good thing? And how in the world can you pick and choose the right church? If there's so many churches out there, doesn't that make it hard to figure out where to go? Yes, it does. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you just teach us tonight some great things about church. Lord, we need this because the Bible tells us there is a right way and there is a right kind of church. There's not just one church we all have to go to over in Jerusalem or in Egypt or in America, but there is a right kind of church. And we want to be a part of that and we want to be that. So help us tonight to humble ourselves and roll up our sleeves and work hard at being that kind of church, no matter the cost, so that you be pleased. We are saved for your pleasure. We are living for your glory. One day we'll be in your presence, and it'll be our benefit. And we don't deserve all this, but we really do need to take this thing called Christianity serious. We need to know how and what a church really is and how we should behave in it. Help us tonight. I pray God, as Brother John prayed, I pray if there's anybody in here who does not know that they know that they know that they're saved. God, if there's somebody in this room who's a tare among the wheat, who's living a lie and faking it, trusting in a prayer, trusting in a feeling, and yet they know in their heart of hearts it's empty. They do not know the God of heaven and they've never, ever been born again. I pray that they get saved tonight. There's just too many things at stake. Lord, I pray that you just convict us about how wonderful it is to have a simple Bible-believing church. And Lord, that we'd want there to be more and more of them all over this world and all over this country. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. What makes churches different from each other? It's kind of a basic question I wanted to answer tonight. Before we get in the Bible, well, we better get in the Bible before. I just want to ask you, you ought to know this. There are some basic concepts we need to settle. Number one, how many ways are there to get to heaven? One. Give me a scripture that says there's only one way to get to heaven. Tony, what is it? That's very emphatic, isn't it? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's only one way to God. All right? So don't get the idea that a church is the way to God. Amen? Because there are lots of churches, aren't there? You see, if you believe in church, you're going to think, wow, look at all the churches. There must be lots of different ways to God. Do you see how that works? You need to reverse and say there's only one way to God. Churches are not the way. They say that there are two religions in the world. You see, I thought you said there are lots of churches. Did you know there are something like 28,000 different churches, different ways that people sort of, you know, identify themselves. There are like 400 major religions, like I showed you. There's over 20,000 cults. So the question is, boy, I thought you said there are only two religions, but you got all those numbers. There are only two religions. All right? The first one is, do, do, do. Pray, pray, pray. Give, give, give. Go, go, go. Go to this church, get baptized. Do everything you can. And then do some more, and then do some more. And then there's another religion. What is that religion called? Done. You know, Jesus did it all, didn't he? So really, you can pretty well help narrow down what are the right kind of churches or the ones. If there's a church or a religion or a cult that says, you've got to do this, you need to work your way this way, you need to pray harder, that's a do religion. I like the one that tells me Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Jesus said, it is finished, amen? So really, that helps me, doesn't it? The basics are, there's only two religions in the world. Now, most of the religions fall where? In the done category? No. They're in the do. It's just a different do. You go to the Buddhists, they say do this. Go to Hindus, they say that. Go to the Protestants, they say do this. You gotta be part of the elect. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. You gotta be baptized. I just like the one that says done. Amen. Now there are some differences that are okay. Can I blow your mind? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. Sarah, would you read John 15, if you can get it there, and verse 5. It's in the New Testament. 15:5. All right. I am the vine, ye are the branch. Is that what he says? No, branches. You know what you find in the Bible? Churches. There is the church over there at Ephesus. There's another church in Antioch. There's another church in Smyrna. Another church in Philadelphia. There are churches. There are branches on this vine. He says he's the one and only vine, but there are lots of branches. Did you know some people gather and worship on Saturday? Is that a good difference? We worship on the first day of the week. The Bible says that on the first day of the week, they met together. So there are differences that do matter. How about some churches have women preachers? Is that something you should be concerned about and say, oh, it's okay? No. There are some churches that have some differences that you should be concerned about. There are some churches that have the drums and the bass guitars and the lead worshipers and the swinging worshipers. But that's not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Only stringed instruments and wind instruments are used in your Bible. Some have Texans and some do not. Okay, all right. You see, I can show you, and Marcus, would you go open up a few of these? Feels like the heat came on. There are some differences, and I pity a church that doesn't have a Texan for a preacher. Amen? Wouldn't you? Amen. But not every church has to have a Texan preacher. Amen? Some churches meet in rented schools. Wouldn't that be terrible to go to that school all week long and then go to it on Sunday as well? Pure torture. Some meet in barns. Remember Blarney? Amen? Hey, there are some differences that are okay. Going in, you look, well, this isn't like my church. Our church has a big high ceiling. Those things don't matter. Would you agree with that? There are differences that are okay. Some sing very little. I've been in churches where, boy, you can't hear them sing. I like going to churches where you can't hear them sing, amen? Some preach short and sweet, and some preach long. Which one would you rather be in? Don't answer that. There are differences, and some of them are okay. But let's take our Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Let me say, the devil is a counterfeiter. Isaiah 14. And if you wouldn't mind, Bethany, Isaiah 14, if you'll read 12, 13, and 14. Isaiah 14, 12, 13, and 14. Go ahead. Which did? Weaken. All right, now who's he talking to? A guy named Lucifer. All right, now Lucifer was the name of the devil before he fell. Verse 13. So who does he want to be like? He wants to be like God. He's a counterfeiter. If ever you wanted to make some counterfeit money, you wouldn't make Monopoly money, would you? You'd make euros. You'd counterfeit real money, wouldn't you? And the devil doesn't make, you know, he's a counterfeiter. He doesn't make stuff just for play that people go, oh, I don't want that. He makes things that look and feel and sound good and right and holy and religious. He's a counterfeiter. Which one's the right Jesus? You can't tell. You don't know without a Bible. As a matter of fact, neither one of them are. Okay? Because you don't know what he looks like. Ha ha. But the devil is a counterfeiter. Did you know all of us are wired to worship God? It is in us to want. I mean, all over the world, no matter where you go, people worship something. So the devil makes as much variety for us to worship so that we get distracted and we don't end up worshiping the true God. John 4:24 says, Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So he can speak emphatically that they didn't know what they were worshiping, and yet they were trying. They were worshiping what they thought was God. Now, those are the three basics. All right, what are the three basics? Three basics are there's only one way to God. There are only two religions. Some differences between churches are okay. And the devil is a counterfeiter. But let's get to the real reasons why there are so many different churches. And the first reason is different Bibles make for different churches. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Different Bibles make for different churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 10, Kim. By the name. All right, so any church, should there be any divisions? No. But how do divisions come into a church? It's where one person has a Bible that says this, and another version has another Bible that says that, and they can't say the same thing. Listen, when you guys, I've been in churches where everybody's got their own version, their own way of reading, and the church is never unified. In this day and age, the modern ecumenical type of church, their church, you might, if you have 100 people, you have 80 different Bibles. And yet that church emphasizes on unity, 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 and yet they'll never have unity. You know what they end up doing? Putting the Bible away, and they just follow the leader. Did you know, you know what's in the new Bibles? Being saved. So if you want to promote your Pentecostal gospel and non-denominational churches that teach that, you never can know, you never can really know, then you use the new Bibles that say being saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. How about this one? Pick up, I didn't bring my Catholic Bible, but did you know it's got John the Baptist there in Matthew chapter 3 when he comes out of the wilderness and he says, do penance! That's funny. That'd make up a pretty good religion. Amen? Also in there, it talks about the holy sacrament of marriage. Sacrament. Sacrament. Do penance. Did you know, here's one. Anybody recognize this verse? In the beginning, the Word was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. The New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses, that Bible produced a new religion, didn't it? You see, religions and all the different churches get fashioned and formed out of different Bibles. The Mormons go along and they say, well, we can't create a church if we go by the old King James, so we've got to add a New Testament. So you have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament, and then you have another Testament. Why do they do that? So they could have a new church. You see how that works? Different Bibles makes for different churches. You know what Bible believers have done? Churches that hold to the King James Bible are pretty much the same across the board. I've been in churches that don't have the name Baptist on it, but they preach just like me. They believe just like me. They preach from the King James Bible. They require repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. They baptize by immersion. Amen. It's funny how one Bible will make so a bunch of churches, they don't all say Bible Baptist Church on them. But we're all pretty well similar, amen? See, one Bible will make us pretty well unified. Do you understand what I'm saying? About 100 years ago, 80 years ago, you'd have a revival in a town. Sometimes in London, sometimes up in Nottingham. Sometimes down in Cardiff. Sometimes over in America. Sometimes in different places. And you'd have a man of God, you probably heard of a guy named Billy Graham. I'll give you one guess what Bible he has ever preached from. Only one guess. What version of the Bible did he preach from? The King James Bible. And you know what? You'd have people from all kinds of different walks of life and different religious backgrounds and churches. But they all heard the King James Bible preached, and there were revivals. There were thousands of people saved because they knew what worked. Different Bibles make for different churches. Right now that there are, did you know there are 220, I believe there's 222, new Bibles just in English. I mean, spoiled for choice. And it's fueled such a range of opinions and churches. Back in the 1970s, they had a Bible called the Living Bible. Then they had a Bible called the Living Word. And then another Bible called the Living Testament. It's like, get over it. It just was never ending. And each time, people were just buying up these new Bibles. It was money-making. And you ended up with more and more fractures and more differences in opinions in a church. Different Bibles make for different churches. Second thing that makes for different churches, different Gospels make for different churches. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Marcus, Galatians chapter 1. Go to the right there. Is that getting too cold? Graham's shaking his head and Gina's going up and down. So Graham, why don't you close like two of those. Galatians, Marcus, Galatians, real loud, chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, please.
Wow.
And 9. What does it mean to be accursed? What's the modern vernacular? What's a modern word for be accursed? Be damned. Anybody that messes with the gospel and presents another gospel, he's from hell, is what the Bible's saying. Now, there are many modern gospels out there today. There is one out there. It's very popular. It's called the prosperity gospel, and it is from hell. It never emphasizes repentance. It never emphasizes that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He just died to make you wealthy. Prosperity gospel makes you feel good about yourself and feel good about everybody. There is the works-based gospel of the Catholic Church. There's a sovereign grace gospel of Calvinistic churches where you don't have to believe anything. God just already does it for you. Just makes you saved or makes you lost. There's the social gospel. Have I already got these? Yeah, it is. There's the social gospel where you don't worry about theology, you just help the poor. That's big in the inner cities. Then there's the baptism gospel. Those are the groups called the Churches of Christ and Disciples of Christ. These guys push that you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized, is how I remember them saying over and over. It's a false gospel. Then there's the universalism. Universalism. If there is a God, we're all going to find him anyway. We'll just find him a different way. You find him your way. I'll find him my way. There are churches, they're called Unitarian churches, that preach a universal gospel. We're all on the way to God. Would you say those are right gospels? Not at all. But you know, go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Joshua. Acts 20 and verse 24, real loud. There is only one gospel that saves. 20:24. The gospel of the grace of God. What does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say, Joshua? 4? Real loud. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is only one gospel that saves. And that's the belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Eli. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. There are some doctrines that should never be changed. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. Hold it there. Let us all catch up with you. All right. Real loud. Ephesus. Macedonia. All right. Paul was telling Timothy, when you get over there to Macedonia, I want you to make sure that no one teaches any other doctrine than what you're hearing from the Bible. Because you don't change what God says, amen? All right, so different gospels make for different churches. Does that make sense? It sure does. You better find out what gospel a church preaches before you end up joining it. Better find out what are they preaching, what are they teaching that children, young adults, and adults need to do to get to heaven. Because different gospels make different churches. I listed only 6 of them up there. I tell you what, you can go to all kinds of different churches, and I'm telling you, I'm not slamming every single Pentecostal church. Don't you think that I'm just tarring everybody the same. But when I went to Pentecostal churches, I never, ever heard the gospel. I heard about tongues. I heard about healing. I heard about the power of God. I heard about all the things going on and the moving of the Holy Spirit and everything over and over, but I never heard that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. Never heard it. They preached and they told us we could be a success. All we had to do was just believe and God will always make a way for us. And listen, I believe that God wants us to be a success. But if you emphasize that so that you don't hear the gospel. You've got a false gospel, amen? Each gospel made a different church. Do you notice that? So different gospels make for different churches. Third thing. A different focus makes for different churches. Go to Romans 6 and verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. You know what I mean by focus, don't you? What you put your attention on. When you come to church, what is the main emphasis of that church? Go ahead, Eli. Romans 6, 16. Now notice, you're yielding yourself, you're making yourself a servant to something. That's your attention. From then on, if I made you my servant, if I made me your servant, okay? Everything you wanted, I'm looking and saying, do you need anything? Can I get you something? You see what I'm saying? You're my focus. If I'm your servant, you're my focus, right? Now, if we made, and we'll never do it, but if we made our building our focus so that every time people came to church, we were taking money from them. Oh, I want to do it, but I won't. If we made a building where we say, and we got it, listen, folks, let's take them out. I want to have plush carpets. I want to sleep on them. I want to have the highest quality multimedia. I want to have the best sound system. There's nothing wrong with multimedia sound system, but if that's our focus as a church, we've lost our focus as a church. Does that make sense? Now, that's a very stupid illustration, but who you focus on is who you're going to serve and what you focus on. Now, there are a lot of different focuses in different churches. Some churches emphasize holy days. Today is St. Martin's Day. Maybe, I don't know. Colossians chapter 2, I'll show you this. Colossians chapter 2 and verse, where are we? 16. Let's start over here with Graham. Colossians 2 and verse 16. Don't you love your Bible? Colossians 2, 16. Listen to these words. Wow, don't let anybody judge you because you're not honoring some holy day. Oh, it's the third Sabbath of the second week after Lent. You see the point? Some churches have a focus on the holy days. They'll come up to Christmas, they'll go, it's the third, what do they say? It's the third Advent before the fourth Advent, which is the first coming. Anyway. If you emphasize holy days, you're going to be in a different church than what the Bible says. Go to Mark chapter 7. Some churches raise traditions up equal to the Word of God. Mark chapter 7. Gina, if you'll read verses 8, 9, and 13. Just 8, 9, and 13. Mark 7. So there are churches that elevate their traditions up to the level of the Word of God, but they never keep them equal, do they? It's impossible to keep them equal. What do they end up doing to the Word of God, according to that verse in verse 13? Yeah, they pull the plug on it. They make it so it's useless. The Bible becomes useless and everybody just follows traditions. So traditions, when it's traditions, and there are plenty of traditional churches where you come in, you have to have a head covered, where you come in and it's all, you know, full of the traditions. You have to genuflect, you have to kneel, you have to put holy water on, you have to cross. All those traditions nullify the commandments of God. You understand what I'm saying? Different churches emphasize different things. Go to John 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. Ruth. 16:13, please. There are churches that emphasize the Holy Spirit instead of the Son of God. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no? Yes. But you know, there are churches that put the Father and the Son second to their emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Let's look at, read your Bible, John 16 and verse 13. Got to be louder, sweetheart. Hold. What will he not do? He's not going to talk about himself. Go ahead. But whatsoever. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess who you're going to talk about? Not the Holy Spirit. Not that you ignore the Holy Spirit, but it's not like emphasizing the Holy Spirit. Guess who the Holy Spirit emphasizes? Jesus Christ. Guess who Jesus Christ emphasized? The Father. Isn't that cool? But churches come along and say, oh, the Father's Old Testament. Oh, Jesus is old hat. We already know about him. Let's focus on the Holy Spirit. So you get a new church. That's what happens. You see how it works? They emphasize the Holy Spirit instead of the Son of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are churches that emphasize and promote the gifts of the Spirit. Are there gifts of the Spirit? Yes or no? Yes, there are. But there are churches that emphasize the gifts instead of the giver. 1 Corinthians 14 and John verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, 32. I've been in churches where they're frothing at the mouth, where they're barking like dogs. I've been in churches where people are on the floor squirming around like snakes. I've been there. The Bible says that's not of God. They've got a new program going. Well, the Bible says the spirit of the prophets are under the control of the prophets. They're not out of control. And yet people who promote the gifts say, just let go. Just let go. Just let go. And you don't realize you're letting yourself go, not to a Holy Spirit, but to an unholy spirit. You know, in the Bible, you know, you see these guys, and there's this guy named Benny Hinn. He's my favorite bad guy. Because this is what he does. And I don't mean to belittle or make fun of, but there's some things that are wrong with this thought. He'll take his coat and he'll go, and everybody in that crowd will go falling backwards. Do you know in the Bible, the only people that ever fell back were the enemies of God. When Abraham fell to worship God, he always fell forward. Every person who ever worshiped God fell forward. And yet these churches that emphasize the gifts, they forget the giver. And they end up teaching people to be like the enemies of God. And they don't even know it. I think a lot of them have no idea. It's just a shame. You say, why do they do that? Why are there different churches? Because they're emphasizing a gift instead of the giver. Amen? That's the difference. If you go to a church where they're talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and you don't just focus on God, the Father. What does the verse say in James? It says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You better worship him. Just keep going. In a church, there's supposed to be only one focus. It's the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Who knows what preeminence means? Preeminence. It's a nice big word. Come on. Go ahead. All right, well, that's cute. But preeminence doesn't mean, all right, imminent. If somebody's imminent, he is outstanding. But eminent means he's dominant. Pre means he's before everything. Eminent means he is everything. So in the church, whenever you start emphasizing this or you start emphasizing anything else but Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you're getting off path. Let's take your Bible, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Brother Dan, Colossians 1 and verse 18. If you'll do 18 and 19, I guess. Just do 18. Sorry, thank you.
He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things he might have the preeminence.
So there's no room for anything else if in all things he has dominance. So honestly, you need to start realizing that when we talk about preeminence, it means he's everything. He's our reason for getting saved. I didn't get saved because of, you know, some Jewish rabbi telling me about Passover. I got saved because somebody told me about Jesus. You understand? He's the reason why we can pray. You can pray because of Jesus' name. Amen? He's the reason why I read and study my Bible, because every page I find Jesus there. I don't care if you're looking in the garden, or if you're looking on Mount Horeb, or if you're looking on Mount Sinai. Jesus is there, amen? He's the reason why I study my Bible. He's preeminent. He's the reason why I love you. Because he loves me. And he told me to love you like he loves me. Amen? I don't understand that. That is so fantastic. He's everything. He helps us. He's the reason why we give. When you give unto somebody, it's as if you're giving unto Jesus. Amen? He's the reason why we endure hardness. Because we're good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, the different focus, when you have any other focus than Jesus, you've got a different church than what Jesus died for. Does that make sense? Different cultures make for different churches. Matthew 6, 33 now. Miss Kathy. Matthew 6 in verse 33. Different cultures. Okay, there are people who, when they go to a church, they look for a church that's like them. Yeah, come on. Let's be real honest. If we lived in, let's just move ourselves about 8,000 miles. Let's all move to Nigeria. You know where you honkies would go to? You wouldn't go to a black church. You try to find a church that was white. That's what you try to do. Come on, be honest. You want to find a church that's just like you. Amen. But you know what the Bible says? Seek first the kingdom of God. You want to find a church that's like him. You see the difference? All right. You know, there's some great courage to some people coming to a church like this. Because if you didn't see somebody of your color, of your race, we're scary. Amen? Come on, we are. But here, different cultures make for different churches. The African culture is a different culture. And when they emphasize their culture, guess what? They create their own kind of church. Do they have their own kind of church? Yes, they do. The American culture. Oh, how can you attack that? The American culture is the right culture. Let's all stand up and salute. No. Did you know the American culture makes churches very American? We do not sing, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." It's the battle hymn of the Republic. Americans, if you can always tell an American. Can't tell them much, but you can always tell an American. But if you went over to America, there's a culture of American churches that you don't bring to Ireland. It's a culture that if we had an American church, over here's the American flag. Can you imagine going to a church where an American flag is up at the front of the church? Insane! It's wrong. Amen? It doesn't belong in the church. You are in a church. You're not in an American little embassy. American culture makes churches very American. What if you had a Jewish culture? I mean, Barry, if we all look like Barry. Beard, skull cap, you know. We're all bowing like this, you know. Honestly, Jewish culture, if we had the culture of Israel in our church, it'd make our church very Jewish, wouldn't it? But is that what a church is supposed to be like? Now, I'm getting somewhere. How about the Irish culture? What'd you say? Leprechauns. Well, that's not the only Irish culture. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Irish culture I don't want in the church. Amen? Okay? Now, this is very important because not all of culture is wrong. All right? Listen. Do you realize God is not against cultures? He wants our church to be local. He wants it to reflect where we live. Are you understanding? All right? That is a local church that takes on the characteristics of our community around us. Amen. But we must be careful that we don't create a culture that is not biblical and not Christ-like. Christ is our definitive standard. The kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Ireland, not the kingdom of America, not the kingdom of Texas. Amen? We want to have the kingdom of God here. Does that make sense? So we've got to be careful about our culture. Our church should be local, but it should not be so different from another Bible-believing church. Honestly, that family was here from South Carolina. I bet you they felt right at home. And they did it without an American flag. Amen? Are you listening? Because we downplay the culture to a level where any culture can come in, sit down, and hear about the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So, here's Kevin, and he's going to have a church down there at Carrigaline. If you ever sat down under his preaching in his church, it'd be a little bit like this church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now the Carrigaliners are a little weird, but we can put up with them. If he ended up in Japan and he started a church, it ought to be a little bit like this, except everybody goes, hey, hey, hey. But other than that, it would be very similar. Are you listening? Culture should not make our church, because there are, can I be real plain? There are African churches, there are Filipino churches, there are American churches, and that's not of God. That is not of God. We are of a different citizenship. I have three citizenships. I'm American, I'm Irish, but I'm heavenly. Amen. I've got three citizenships, and one of them came free, amen. Be careful that your culture is dominated by Scripture, not the other way around. Because a lot of people dominate. I was asking one guy, I said, why do you have to have 200 watts, RMS watts, pounding at your people when you're preaching? And his microphone is right on his mouth. And I said, why do you preach that way? He says, they'll go to sleep otherwise. It's our culture. Let me tell you, then you're going to have to change it. Because I will never go in there. It's scary. Amen? Do you understand? Be careful that your culture doesn't dominate the Scripture. Let the Scripture dominate your culture. Amen? I mean, if everybody drinks on Friday night and you're having a meeting on Friday night, you ought not to have drink. Culture does not dominate the church. Pastors should not seek the glory in a church. Women should not be in charge in the church. People should not just do as what the culture accepts, like drinking. People of a church should be like family. The music in a church should be spiritual. And the preaching should be central and powerful. That's the culture we want. Amen. How to be the right kind of church. Go to John chapter 17, verse 20. And Mary Ann. John 17, 21, please. Amen. So, does Jesus want Christians to be unified? Yes, he does. So there is somehow a way to be a unified kind of church and Christians and get along. Now go to Acts chapter 20 and let's look at just a few things and we'll be finished. How to make sure your church is the right kind of church. Acts 20, 32, Nita, please. I'll ask you again, aren't you glad you got a Bible? Acts 20, 32. So Paul says to this church at Ephesus, he says, I commend you, I give you over to God and to what? I'm going to give you over to the Pope. to the pastor, to the word of his grace. I'm going to give you over to the authority of the word of God. Make sure the Bible is the authority in your church, because it's able to make you saved, it's able to make you sane, and is able to make you happy. Amen. It's able to make what all we need done. Make sure the Bible is the authority in the church. Secondly, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's run over here. Kemi. Colossians 1, 16 to 19. We looked at this already, but we'll go through the several verses here. Colossians 1, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Is that okay? I'm okay. Keep going. Verse 17 now. This is an amazing thing. Jesus was the Word of God become a man, right? And as a man, what was inside him? Just a little bit of God? All of the fullness of God was pushed inside of him. So when you think about Jesus, you're thinking about God. You're thinking about the fullness of God. You're not thinking of a poor prophet. You're not thinking of a good man. You're thinking about God in the flesh. And the point is this: how to be the right kind of church is make sure Jesus is the reason for everything we do. I'm serious. Don't the things that we do when we have a Sunday school activity, when we have a teen activity, when we have RU, when we have preaching, it is for his pleasure. It's to please him. It's to help somebody get to know him. Amen. Make sure it's for him. Thirdly, Matthew 16, 18. How to be the right kind of church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Brother Kevin, are you able to read there? Cool. Isn't it good? It was good to see Bill and Geraldine this morning. Well, it just does you good. Just when God, I mean, it's been hard, you know. Troubles. I hate troubles in your life. I hate them when they're in my life too. But I hate it when you're going through troubles and things. And it's just nice God working in Kevin's sight and everything. Praise God. Hey, when you open your eyes, was your wife still just as beautiful as there? Did you notice how fast she answered? Matthew, good night. Matthew 16, 18. All right, whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. And he says, it's my church. I'm designing it. I'm laying the pattern for it. What was Jesus' pattern? One pastor. Couple of stinky fishermen. And he said, it's church, amen? He didn't start off with the high and highfalutin and the wealthy. He started off at the bottom and he says, let's have church, amen? Simple people. We've got to follow his pattern, his design. As long as we're following his design, I don't read books on how to build a great church. I don't. I read one book on how to build a great church, amen? He's the one who wrote it. Follow his design. Third, fourthly, be different. Go ahead, you listening? Go ahead and be weird. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Eileen, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. You see, other religious groups may not talk about hell. Go ahead and be weird enough to warn people about hell, amen? Other religions may not emphasize the perfectness of the Bible. They may not emphasize that Jesus really was God in the flesh. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to stand out because I'm supposed to do it. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Amen. 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 We should be different. How different? Oh, let me go ahead and go through it. How different? You ought to be different in your locality. Some people, what do I mean by that? Some people think that when they're watching the God Channel, they're in church. No, you're not in church. The New Testament kind of church is a place you're supposed to go to and assemble with every week. Amen. You're going to be different. Other people may think, oh, I don't go to church unless I absolutely have to. You need to be weird. I go every chance I can, every time the doors are open. Jesus was very local. Secondly, you need to be different in your worship. I'll stop that. I thought I had these. You should be different in your worship. John says, John 4:24. Worship in truth. What does it say? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we should be different. We don't worship our worship is not, you know, all kinds of traditions and formalities. And did you pray this prayer? Did you remember every word? Did you do this? No. We have simplicity of worship. Aren't you glad? We have simplicity of giving. Your right hand should not know what your left hand is putting in the offering box. Amen. Simplicity of giving. We should have simplicity of loving. We should have simplicity of preaching. It's the most important part of church worship is preaching. We ought to be different in our worship. We ought to also be different in our membership. Did you know there are only two kinds of, or two conditions on membership? Number one, a church is filled with regenerated members. You know what that means, don't you? It means born again. Only born again, baptized, committed, and clean living people are supposed to be members of a church. Anybody and everybody's allowed to come to church. But if you want to be a member of a church, you better be born again, scripturally baptized, you better be committed, and clean living. That's four. Amen. Because the second condition is not only do we have a regenerated membership, we have, I got to remember my R. Where are you? A regulated, isn't that good? A regulated membership. Which means if Eli goes out and he starts stealing, mugging people. No, I'm joking. No, Dean starts stealing and mugging people. And if he's a member of this church, guess what we're going to do? We're going to hit you over the head with a big board, amen? And we're going to say, he's not one of us. Amen. Because you can't just go and live any way you want. You can be saved, amen. But this church is going to, we have expectations of one another, don't we? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're different in our membership. Some people want to be able to live any way they want. Go right ahead. It's a free country. But it's not a free church. We'll live like Jesus wants. In purpose. We're different in our purpose. Why do we come to church? So we learn to obey. Why do we come to church? What did I just say? So we learn to obey. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe, obey, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Why do we come to church? So we learn to obey. Amen. That's why. What are you going to church for? Is there a blessing? Sometimes. Sometimes it's hard. Amen. That's why we come to church. We're different. We're peculiar. And in our effect, go to Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15. Let's get Leo, brother Leo. Philippians 2:15. Back to the left. We ought to be peculiar in our effect. Philippians 2:15. Wow. Blameless, harmless, sons of God. But look at where we're around. We're amidst bankers, rock stars, crooked and perverse. Amen. We're in the midst of crooked and perverse nation, and yet we shine as lights. That's the effect. People ought to be able to find their way to God because they live in your light. They actually learn about Jesus from you. They learn the Bible is true. They learn that He can be trusted. Amen. We ought to have an effect. We're going to preach on that all next month in August. We're supposed to be different. Do you know what we ought to do? As Christians, we ought to hinder the devil. We ought to hinder. We ought to make it very hard for the devil to spread his lies. Amen. We ought to upset the carnal. Somebody claims to be a Christian and they're not reading their Bible, we ought to make them feel uncomfortable. They're not in church, we ought to make them upset. Amen. They're not soul winning, we ought to make them feel uncomfortable. We ought to feed the Christian. You know who's going to get the biggest blessing out of church? Those who come hungry. Amen. And we ought to bless the Savior. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I want to be a blessing to Him. We ought to have an effect. Now be careful. Let me end this with this thought. Be careful. Be careful to not take your biblical church for granted. You see, if you want to be the right kind of church, we're going to make the Bible the authority in the church. Is that what we do here? I'm trying. We ought to make sure Jesus is the reason for everything we do. Is that our focus? We want to follow His design, His pattern. That's why we don't have the drums. That's why we don't have the swaying singers up at the front. That's why we don't serve boomers. Because we're not following the world's pattern for how you grow. We intend to be different on purpose. We intend to raise young men, to be different than the things that are out there. We intend to be different, amen? Not just to be different, but we intend to be different. But we must be careful not to take our church for granted. And secondly, not to damage anyone in it. Is it possible? Is it possible to hurt the people you love? Very well is. I was reminded of that this very weekend. Just how stupid I can be. Let's be very careful. Do not damage anybody. Use your words for what? What's the key? What's the Bible word? Edify. For whatsoever cometh more of that is sin, the Bible says. And lastly, don't ignore your responsibilities to your church. Amen. You know your responsibility to church is to be here. That's the first thing. Second thing, another responsibility is to give. I don't know what our offering was today, but let me just tell you, it's been tight. And we've got some big programs coming up. And I know God wants to open the wind to heaven, but the wind is controlled by your pocket. Don't forget your responsibilities to your church. Don't forget to pray for your pastor. There's sometimes I get up here and I get ready to preach and I know nobody's prayed for me. Or very few. And I thank God for everybody who does. But let me tell you, your responsibility is don't just come and expect, well, pastor's going to do great. Not always. Oh, Brother Dan, he's going to teach great. We've got a responsibility. Don't neglect those. Here's your conclusion. There are lots of different churches, lots of different religions. Lots of cults and lots of different religions. I already said that. But let me ask you now. Is God a God of choices? Yes or no? No. He only gives you one choice. Choose Jesus. Amen? He doesn't, you know, I hate going to a restaurant. Honestly. America's 4,000 times worse than Ireland. But it's so hard to go to an American restaurant in America where you sit down and they'll say, how do you want your steak? I'll say, well done. Would you mean medium well or well? Well done, you know. That's all I want. And then they'll say, all right, do you want a tossed salad? Do you want a side salad? Do you want a green salad? Do you want a pasta salad? I just want a salad. Amen? Well, do you want Caesar dressing? Thousand Island. Do you want balsamic vinegar or do you want oil and vinegar? You're like, I just want dressing. Amen. Too many options and it's overwhelming. And the devil has done that with churches. No wonder they quit. That's why people don't go to church anymore. There are too many options. Amen. Does it really matter the kind of church you attend? Yes, it does. Better believe it does. Is there a way to really choose a right kind of church? There certainly is. We've learned that some differences are okay. Amen? Kevin's not going to have a church that's exactly like this one. Amen? He's going to make all the old people on the front row sit with ties. He's not going to have it exactly like ours. All right? And that's okay. Amen? Some differences are okay. Some are not. His wife is not going to ever preach outside of the house. The devil is a counterfeiter. We've learned that. So some churches, really beautiful, seen holy and seen clean, but they're not right. We've learned that different Bibles make for different churches, don't they? It's that scary. You say, well, it's just a different version. It's another way. Jesus said, I am the way. Different Gospels make for different churches. Different focus of church makes for different churches. A lot of people go to church for the music. A lot of people go to church because it takes care of their kids in nursery and Sunday school. A lot of people go to church for all kinds of different reasons. Let's have one focus, amen? Different cultures make for different churches. Let's be the right kind of church. Let's stand, let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We need to pray and ask God to make us the right kind of church.